Tell me if I look good. I know I do. I just wanted to hear you say it. We're going? Oh, man. You know you're going to have to edit that out.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Elevate Podcast.
Tonight we're starting a new series titled Pursuit, the Greatest Chase of All. In tonight's message, Catching an Awesome God, Pastor Jason shows us to catch God by capturing his heart.
Tonight is our 11th podcast here at Elevate. The man who is speaking right now to you is the greatest man that can be. His name is Juno Garcia.
Gilbert.
Hold on, I'm not done with the intro.
This has gone to his head.
I'm not done with the intro.
Big time.
Joining me is one of our great leaders who we couldn't do without, and I think it might even fall apart if he didn't show up, is our main man, Gilbert, great man of God. We have for the first time tonight one of our youth members, and it just so happens it's my main man, Gilbert's daughter. Her name is Crystal. She's going to be joining us, putting her two cents in. And then we got Pastor Jay.
Now, this is the reason why I got a camera on us, because I wanted y'all to see.
There we go.
That. See how big his head has gotten?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It used to be a lot smaller. This is why I wanted to get this on video tonight.
I don't know what you're talking about. Tonight's topic in the message that you're going to be hearing, we're beginning a new series here at Elevate. It is called Pursuit, the Greatest Chase of All. And the title of today's message that you'll be hearing tonight is Chasing an Awesome God. And the big picture of tonight, Pastor Jay, was catching God by capturing his heart.
That's right.
So what do you think? Elaborate. You know, give me some idea on, you know, what came about this whole series, you know?
Well, you know, I go into the year and I plan out all of our messages. You know, I chart out everything. I chart out all the series that we're going to do. And when I sat down, you know, I honestly didn't sit down and say Pursuit needed to be the first one. It has to be the first message, because going into today, this morning, I didn't even know what Pursuit was going to be about. And as it was developing, as the message was developing all week, it seemed more and more that really Pursuit was what 2007 is going to be all about for us here at Elevate, and really maybe for us in our lives. You know, Pursuit, I titled it The Greatest Chase of All, and Chasing an Awesome God. And you know, we've been here since April, and I just feel that 2007 just is a time in all of our lives that, you know, we need to go a little bit harder. We need to go a little bit closer to God.
Very true. Crystal, how old are you, just so everyone can know?
15.
15 years old. Now, 15 years old, I remember when I was 15 back in the day. It's been a while. But how do you feel, what do you think that you could do at 15 years of age to capture God? What could you do? What could you do in your life that would stand out that maybe other 15-year-olds are going to hear and say, hey, you know, maybe I could do that? What do you think would be easy for you to do out of the whole message you got?
To share the word of God with everybody at school, because if every Christian at my high school would actually do that, we could change a lot of lives there.
That's true. You know, and basically what she's saying there is not to be quiet. And it's time in, you know, 2007 that Christians actually wake up and actually go out and start talking. It doesn't hurt to talk. It doesn't hurt to go into your high school and say, hey, you know, I found something great over the holidays, or I found something great that's changed my life. Check it out. So, yeah, Gilbert, what do you think? You know, I mean, give me some feedback, man, on, you know, capturing God, and, you know, with a heart after God. And
well, I mean, just once you catch them, I mean, you got to still chase them. Just because you got them don't mean it's going to end right
there.
That's
a good point.
As for myself, this year I'm going to push myself to have a better chase with him, to be closer to him, to be right on his tail. I won't be like in NASCAR. I'm going to be right behind him, catching his drift. And all the blessings are going to come right along with it. I mean, I want a better walk with God myself. Every year I want to make it bigger and better.
Yeah, it's funny that you said that particular kind of illustration there of in NASCAR of right on somebody, you know, in the drift. You know, that's that little pocket behind a car where you don't have to run as hard. Your engine doesn't have to run as hard. And in Bible times when Jesus, you know, was here on earth, he was a rabbi. And one of the things that they always said was about being a rabbi is they followed so close that the dust was on them. So it was a thing of being a disciple of God. You know, being a disciple was about being close to God, so close to Him back then that the actual dust, as He walked and the dust would kick up, it would be on you. So His dust would be on you because you were following Him so close. So that was a great illustration and probably is really what pursuit, you know, for us is all about. You know, it's trying to get just closer to Him, as close as we can. And when I think of pursuit, I kind of think of marriage, you know, and you can relate to this.
I can't. Oh, you were talking to Gilbert.
To me,
I'm sorry. My bad. You know, because people are listening.
And they're not seeing.
Exactly. So, you know.
I'm glad you caught me.
There you go.
You know, Gilbert, I know you can relate because, you know, we've been married. And there's that time before the marriage that we're pursuing and trying to capture, you know, our mate's heart, you know, our wife's hearts. And that's the idea that we want to have when we're chasing after God, that we're going after God with this just, we want just to, where He turns and goes, oh man, they really want me. I have to go down. I have to be there.
I mentioned to you, Pastor Jason, after the service, the message, everything was over, that it only takes one person to buy into what you're saying. It only takes one person to taste what God has to offer. I know that me and you have been together for a long time and we've been in youth ministry for a while, and a couple years back I truly feel that we got to taste just a little bit of what He had to offer. You can never be satisfied. You can never say, man, I was there and that's it. Because there's always something more. There's always, it's like a layer, you know. There's always a level, you know, that you keep on going.
Well, the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is today's success.
Right.
And if we say, oh, I got Him now, I don't have to do anything. Again, go back to marriage. That isn't how it works.
It's a daily process.
It's a daily thing.
That you keep on going. And all it takes is just a spark. And it'll spread like wildfire. I've seen it with my own eyes. It only takes one to have everyone jump in. Because it's something about somebody pressing in and not caring about the opinions of others, not caring about the way it's going to look, not caring how crazy it might look, but just stepping out. I mean, just imagine, you know, when they stepped out on the water. How crazy was that? How crazy he must have looked to have one foot on the water, but then doing that, he's the only man that can say he did that, you know? So it only takes one person buying into God's heart. And once you buy into it, and once you press in, and you take that first step out on the water, He's going to honor you like you will not believe. It's amazing, man. I've seen it. I've seen the, from kids going from one extreme to being totally lost to another extreme of having so much peace. And you see the bondage and the depression, the hurt in their face. And once they just stepped out onto that water, once they just said, okay, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to try this God thing. The pain and all the heartache and everything just went away, and you just saw like a peace fall upon them. And that's what we want to capture here at Elevate. That's what we want to try and stress to those who are listening out here for your own youth ministry. All it takes is one buying into the to what God has for you. So, you know, I don't know where else you want to go with that, Pastor. I mean, what do you think? Do you have something to add, Chris?
I think that if one person can change so many people's lives, it takes one person to tell you about God. That's how we all ended up here. So why can't we do that same favor for that person who helped us get our walk with God? I think that person deserves to have us save one more person, and that person save one more person, and it just has a chain reaction. So my generation won't be 4%, it'll be 94%, and then it'll be 100%.
That's true, you know. It's contagious. It's contagious, God, it's contagious. Pastor Jay, what else you got, man? What else you want to, where else you want to flow with this?
I mean, I think pretty much this guy said it all, and by this guy, I mean Juno.
Thank you.
You know, to me, it gets better and better each week, and it just takes somebody, wherever you're at, if you're in a church, if you're in a youth ministry, if you're in a young adult ministry, if you're in a men's ministry, women's ministry, kids ministry, it doesn't matter. This message isn't about any age group. It isn't about teenagers. It's about everybody, you know, just asking their lives, how different would it be if I caught God? How different would my life be? How different would my town be? How different would our state be? How different would this country be if Christians would catch and capture God's heart and go after God with this total abandonment and just, I mean, how different would it be? You know, and I know there's been a time over my life, past 5 years, that I forgot about that. I forgot what it was like. I forgot what it could be like. And for me, it's time to get that back. It's time to get that passion back, to renew my first love.
Right where we need to be. Wrapping it up, Gilbert, thank you for coming out. Thanks for the help, brother. Couldn't do it without you.
No,
Crystal,
no problem.
I appreciate you just being involved and listening and being a part of our, you know, this is your first one. So I want to thank you for coming out. Pastor Jay, well, you know, Pastor Jay's Pastor Jay. You know, that's just Pastor Jay. I love him. Wrapping it up, here we go. Let's go right into the message. Doing it live, YouTube, baby, YouTube.
You know, one of the funnest races I was involved in was my freshman year in high school. We were in Bowling, Texas, and I was running the 110 hurdles. Now, being a freshman and running in my first varsity race was pretty cool, but I really didn't have much of a chance in winning or even placing. You see, Bowling's track was a dirt track at that time, and when the race was fixing to start, it started raining, so the dirt actually got, you guessed it, muddy. So here I was, a freshman racing against upperclassmen in a race that was already going to be hard to win, and it was muddy. So when the gun fired to send us off in our heat, everyone took off strong, one hurdle, two hurdles, and when we got to the third hurdle, the guy that was leading slipped and hit his hurdle, and in falling, he started a chain reaction that slowed everyone or made them fall, all except, guess who? Me. That's right. So I'm off racing now, and I end up getting first in my heat, sending me into the finals, of which I think I ended up seventh in that race. It was exciting because I thought that I had no chance and would basically end up chasing everyone and be unable to catch them. Well, tonight, if you're here at Elevate or if you're listening to this through our podcast, we are beginning a new series called Pursuit, the Greatest Chase of All. What is it about races that excites all of us, especially when there's an underdog? You see, I love to see an underdog race. I love to see an underdog in any arena, basketball, football. I mean, we all root for the underdog. Well, in Indy Racing, in the 2005 racing season, there was a new driver on the scene, an underdog, and her name was Danica Patrick. See, on May 29th, 2005, Patrick became only the fourth woman to race in the Indianapolis 500. Patrick's fourth starting position was the highest ever attained for the race by a female driver. She led actually 19 laps overall in that race. On July 2nd, 2005, she became the second woman to ever accomplish the feat of winning a pole position. And then in 2005, her whole year, she ended up finishing 12th overall. You're talking about, you know, the big dog. She was an underdog there. And she finished 12th overall. See, the great thing I love about her story is that no one gave her a chance. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of people were rooting for her. I mean, they were rooting, but even though they didn't give her much of a chance, they were still rooting for her because we love that kind of story. We love, you know, in basketball, we love it when there's this Cinderella story in March Madness. We love it. We're rooting for that one team to go all the way that you know, is not used to playing with the big dogs. Tonight, what we're talking about in our first message of this Pursuit series is called Catching an Awesome God. When we make that statement, the question I have for you is that even possible? Is it possible to catch God? I mean, I know what you're probably thinking. How in the world can I catch God? I can't even see God. How in the world can I catch God? I can't touch God, right? I mean, Pastor Jay, you're talking about catching an awesome God. I can't even see or touch him. How in the world can I catch him? You know, catch God, that sounds as easy as catching the wind. You know, you can't do it. You catch the wind, can you? I mean, you can't reach up and, you know, grab it and hold on to it. You can't do it. And not only that, but why would you even want to try to catch God? I mean, God's in heaven and I'm here and I'm living my life. Why do I even want to catch God? Why? Why do I want to catch God? How many of you would like to have a deeper relationship with God? Come on. How many of y'all would like to have a deeper relationship with God? How many of you would like to have just be a little closer to God than you are right now? I know I would. I do. How many of you go around thinking that sometimes there has to be more to this Christian thing than what I'm doing right now? I mean, there's got to be a little more. I mean, is this all there is? I come to church once or twice a week, and you know, I mean, haven't you ever thought, isn't there more to this whole Christian life? You know, well, I read my Bible and I pray and I go to church. I mean, you know, isn't there more though? I mean, there has to be more. How many of you need someone really in your life that has your back? I mean, somebody that's close to you, closer than any other friend you have, that has your back. I mean, how many of y'all need somebody like that in your life? And so tonight we're talking about catching God. You see, most of us are running around from thing to thing in our lives. Even Christians. Even as Christians, a lot of time, guys, we're running around from thing to thing, trying to find that thing that's really going to fulfill us. Even Christians go through this. But yet we can't find it. We can't do it. Because we haven't gone all the way in our relationship with God. See, so tonight what we're talking about is taking another step. You see, I'm not saying that you aren't saved or you haven't made this decision to live for Christ, because that's important, because it's the first step. But what I'm telling you is there's more. There's more to God than what you think. Look at your notes. See, God did not die just to save us. God didn't die just to save us. Man, he died so that he could be your best friend, so that you could have a daddy in heaven. See, and most of us treat God like, you're my savior and I've gone on in my life. It's like going to the beach or the swimming pool, and if you get into trouble and the lifeguard saves you, it's like, hey, well, thank you, Mr. Lifeguard. You know, thank you for saving me. And you just move on through life, and never again do you see that person. And most people treat their Christian life like that. That they have this Savior now, this Savior that rescued them from this ordinary life. But where do I go next? And so tonight, and this whole series, we're talking about stepping it up a little bit. We're talking about taking it to a different level. We're talking about moving into a different dimension. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. See, Jesus died so that you could start that process. See, accepting God as the rescue of your life, the rescuer of your life, doesn't mean you love Him. Do y'all get that? It doesn't mean that, you know, you love God now. Are y'all on track with me, or are you lost? I mean, just because you ask God into your heart doesn't mean all of a sudden you love Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. It's not automatic, because love is a process. It's a process of getting to know somebody, developing a trust in them, developing a relationship with them, and a bond that goes deeper. So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. See, some of you have made Him your Savior, but haven't made Him your best friend, man, your daddy. You've made God your Savior, but He hasn't become your best friend. See, too often we throw around the word, I love God. Oh, I love God. I love God. I love God. I love God. And we throw it around like we say, I love pizza. Man, oh yeah, I love pizza. Shoot. Oh, you know what I really love? I really love going down to Olive Garden and getting that salad with the dressing and then hot, warm breadsticks and eating that and then getting some lasagna or some manicotti and, man, I'm on a diet this week. You know, and we love that. And we kind of tossed around the word love like we really don't even know what it means anymore. You know, and here's how sometimes we define love. Some of you, you know, I've been there. You get a girlfriend or you get a boyfriend, and in 1 month, all of a sudden you love them. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. You know, 1 month. You're like 1 month in. Oh, I love him so much. Do you love me? Do you love me? Yeah, I love you too, babe. Yeah. You know, that's not love, man. Come on. That's not love. So you get this boyfriend, your girlfriend, and in 1 month, all of a sudden you're in love with them, and 6 months later, they're yesterday's news, and you got another boyfriend or girlfriend, and you love them. Come on, folks. That's not love. Here, I'm going to blow your bubbles here. If you've had like two or three girlfriends or boyfriends, and you've told all of them you love them, you ain't loved none of them. Hey, I'm serious. You know why? Because love never fails. Love never fails. Love doesn't stop. You may have thought or had this idea because that's what society has taught you, but love is different from what society teaches us. And see, some people think that that's love, but remember, we said that true love is unquenchable. Remember, true love never dies. True love never dies. And so today we're talking about catching this awesome God. We're talking about pursuing God all out so that we can catch his attention and he can come close to us. Our big idea is this. Fill in your notes there. Write this in. This is the whole point of this message. Catching God is about capturing his heart. Catching God, or to catch God, you catch him by capturing his heart. Because you can't run, and you can't chase him, and you can't grab a hold of God. It's impossible. You can't do it. There's no way. Friends, let me tell you, catching God is as impossible as it is to reach in the air, catch the wind. You just can't do it. Let me put it this way. You know, I have three daughters, and when they were all small, I would always play chase with all of them. And there was no way they could catch me. No way. No matter how hard or fast they thought they were, or how hard they tried, I could always just whoop. And I mean, just with a little dodge. And they're right by me. And I could do that all day. I could just keep going over and over. Because why? A little kid, a little five-year-old can't catch an adult. They can't. They can't do it. It's impossible. But see, what would happen is after a little while, they would all just, you know, give you that kind of look and that little, you know, daddy, let me catch you, you know, and they would try so hard, and finally they just capture your heart, and you would let them catch you, and you would hug on them, and I would hug on them and everything, and because they would catch my heart. They couldn't catch me, but they had to capture my heart. And then all of a sudden, when they captured my heart, I caught them. So can we catch God? No, that's not even possible. It's impossible to catch God. But what we can do is we can capture his heart. We can capture God's heart. We can go after God so hard that we can catch the heart of God. And he can turn and he can look to us and he can let us catch him. So I want you to look at a scripture with me in Psalm 63. I put it in your notes because I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. So if you want to look at your notes, look at them, or it'll be up on the screen. But let's look at Psalm 63, and we're going to look at verse 8. And verse 8 is a great scripture, and I love how it said. It says this. It says, "My whole being follows hard after you." My whole being follows hard after you and clings to you. Wow. Listen to what David, this is David writing it. David from the Old Testament. He said, "My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you." I think that is pretty much a great description of what a Christian life should look like. Man, that's what a Christian life should look like. In fact, I think that pretty much sums up that verse we read in Matthew, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." He said, my whole being follows hard after you. See, to capture God's heart means that our whole being follows hard after him. We're going after God with such a total abandonment, such a passion, such a fire, that he turns and he says, "Oh, that's my baby. I gotta catch them." Man, and look at how this psalm starts out, chapter 63. Verse 1, it says, "God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and thirst for God." Man, I can just hear David writing that. I could just hear the passion. "My God, you're my God, and I can't get enough of you. I just can't." Does that describe you? Does that describe you today as you sit here and elevate? Does that verse describe you as you sit here and you listen to God? can't get enough of you. Does that describe your life? You know, if I would sit down with your parents or your friends at school, and I would ask them, and I'd say this verse to them, would they say, yeah, that pretty much sums up their life? Would they say that about you? My God, I can't get enough of you. Is that what your life looks like? Folks, this is important because you only get to be a teenager once in your lifetime. You don't get to repeat it. As much as I want to try, I cannot do it again. I can't fake it. I can't dream it. I can't imagine it. I can't do it. I can't be a teenager again. I can't relive those years. You only get one time. In fact, this is going to be the only time in your life that you can go after God with that all out with such a passion. You can't do it after your teenage years. It's not going to happen. You can't go all out after God. I can't do it anymore. What, Pastor Jay, you can't do that? I can't do it anymore. Why? Because I have a wife. I have three children. I have a career. I cannot physically, emotionally go all out with God like David said. I just all out. I can go to a pretty good level, but man, my attention is divided among a lot of things. But man, as a teenager, you don't have a wife. You don't have a husband. You don't have two or three children. You don't have that. Yeah, but you don't know my mom and dad. That's okay. Well, you don't know how hard it is at school. That's okay. I understand that. But you are still don't have as many things trying to capture your attention in a day. You don't have it. This is the only time. See, you're only going to be a teenager 7 years of your life. You can't redo it. 7 years. The Bible says that you are only going to live for 70. And if you got a little oomph in you, you might live to 85. And after that, it's just however long you want to do it. So you're guaranteed 70, though. And how many years are you a teenager? Seven. Anybody a math whiz? Percentage? 10%. That's your tithe. See, I believe that your teenage years should be your tithe years. Your teenage years should be the time that you're just giving it all to God, becoming all you can be in Him, going after Him with all your heart, pursuing Him, letting Him develop who you are, and so that you can be who you are. You cannot do it again. You can't do that anymore after your teenage years. See, I think most of the problem is that too many teenagers today are spending more time chasing britches and skirts than they are chasing God. It's the truth. It's the truth. Why is it that only 4% of your generation are born again Christians? Why? Is it because they're chasing God? Is it because the 4% are chasing God? You know, because here's what I believe. I believe the 4% can make a huge difference. I believe the 4% that are out there and you're part of it can make such a huge difference. I believe that if we'll go after God with all we got, that by the end of this year, Elevate won't just double, but I can see it tripling. I can see having to add chairs, not take them away. I told Gilbert tonight, I said, Gilbert, we need to take out a row or two. I said a row. He goes, we should probably take out two rows because, you know, you get spaced out and there's a lot of emptiness right there. That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. We should be going after, you know, I have not known a group of teenagers that decide to go out all after God and they just pursue God with all they got, that they don't end up making a difference. Folks, you can make a difference. We can make a difference. But to do it, we've got to capture the heart of God. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, honor and enjoy your Creator while you're still young. See, the time is now to go after God. How different would your walk be in life if you were closer to God? How different would your life be if you were a little bit closer to God? How much different would you feel every day? What would it feel like to wake up every morning and wake up with a passion for life? What would it feel like to not have to feel guilty because you're half in or half out? Or because you kind of walk the line and you know you know this God thing and you heard this God thing and some of you have heard it all your life. And you go beyond the hearing and you start experiencing an awesome God. What would life be like if you did that? How different would your life be? I imagine a life every day. I can imagine it that you walk and know that at every step you take is a life of purpose, and God's bringing people into your life and people across your path, and you're living with a purpose because you know you're making a difference. Because you captured God's heart and He's there with you. I can imagine a life where you can go to school and or to work and you're excited because you know you are about to make a difference even at your job. Man, can you imagine that? What would your day be like if you caught God? How much would your life radically change if you caught God? We're going to start tonight. I feel that 2007, we're going to pursue God with total abandonment, man. I feel we're going to go after God with total abandonment this year. That this is going to be the year, Elevate, and if you're going to be here, you're going to go after God. I'm glad I'm the only one. I'm sorry, two. In 2007, we're going to go after God. And you know, it needs to not be lip service, man. There should be a desire in you that says, my whole being is going after God. My whole being is going after God. You know, here's the thing. You can do that and still do all the stuff you're doing, man. You can still do that and be in basketball. You can still do that and play sports. You can still do that and have a career. You can still do that. We're talking about chasing after a God and saying, okay, God, if I can catch you, what would my life be like? What would my life be like if I would go after you with all my heart? See, here's what 1 Chronicles 28:9 says. This is the last scripture, and I'm shutting down, and we're going to switch gears. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. Now listen to this verse. Read it with me there. It says, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. And here's your promise. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. Man. If you'll go after God with me this year, he will be found. If you'll say, you know what, Pastor Jay? I need a little something in my life. I need to go a little bit harder after God. I know I do. That's why one of my goals is to read through the Bible this year. Because I want more of God. I don't want 2007 to be like 2006. I want more of God.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Podcast. For more information on Elevate, log on to www.myspace.com/ElevateYouthCC.